Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupati, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaura Premanandi. Those of you that live here, you're used to the scene, and I'm visiting, and just an assembly of luminaries, it's inspiring. Just commenting, there's something happening inside, just seeing all of you here. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
text 14, 15, 16, and 17. Starting with 14. Nirbene Ashmanao Nase. Vishnor Avishatam Padam. Rani Nangshe Nagandhasya. Pratipattir Yato Bhavet. Nirbane Ashvanao Nase. Vishnor Avishat Avishatam Padam. Grane Nam Shena Gandhasya. Pratipattir Yato Bhavet. Vishnor Abhishatam Padam. Thus being separated. Ashvanau, the dual Ashvanis. Nase, of the two nostrils. Vishnoho, of the Lord. Avishatam, entering. Padam, host. Granena Angshena. By partially smelling. Gandhasya, aroma. Pratipatihi, experience. Yataha, whereupon. Bhavet, becomes. Translation. When the Lord's two nostrils separately manifested themselves, the dual Ashvani Kumaras entered them in their proper positions, and because of this, the living entities can smell the aromas of everything. Text 15, I'm just going to read the translation. Thereafter, the two eyes of the gigantic form of the Lord were separately manifested. The sun, the director of light, entered them with the partial representation of eyesight. And thus the living entities can have vision of forms, text 16. When there was a manifestation of skin separated from the gigantic form Anila, the deity directing the wind entered with partial touch, and thus the living entities can realize tactile knowledge. And last but not least, text 17. When the ears of the gigantic form became manifested, all the controlling deities of the directions entered into them with the hearing principles by which all living entities hear and take advantage of sound, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The ear is the most important instrument in the body of the living entity. Sound is the most important medium for carrying the message of distant and unknown things. The perfection of all sound or knowledge enters through the ear and makes one's life perfect. The entire Vedic system of knowledge is received by oral reception only, and thus sound is the most important source of knowledge. Om Ajnana Timurandhasya Kananjana Sarlakaya Chakshuram Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. When I looked at these verses, I was scratching my head. I looked at the commentaries of the Acharyas, and there's less than what Prabhupada has written. I scratched my head again and decided to go in a certain direction. And the direction is what Prabhupada is pointing to in the purport, and that is sound and the instrument for hearing sound. And a standard definition for sound is that which gives an idea of a thing or something in a distant place. Again, sound is that which gives an idea, subtle, it's an idea of something in a distant place. So sound works before the other senses work, because with the eyes you can't see the touch and smell, and it's in a distant place. But through sound you can get an idea of an object situated in a distant place. And as Prabhupada is writing in the purport, sound is the most important source of knowledge. So knowledge, to know, you can know, at least theoretically, through sound. And as Prabhupada would like to say, there's jnana, and then there's vijnana, there's practical application of knowledge. So education of any kind is through sound. Now, let's go to Tatrasandarbha for a moment. Tatrasandarbha by Jiva Goswami is the first of the six sandarbhas, and keeping it really simple, Jiva Goswami declares, I want to discuss the absolute truth, but before discussing the absolute truth, one should explore what are the means of knowing the absolute truth, the pramana, the means of knowing the object, the absolute truth, or Krishna specifically. and then he goes through the means of knowing things. Direct experience, direct perception of the senses, pratyaksha. Based upon the direct perception, some kind of reason or logic, this means that, that's the mind, reason and logic. And reason and logic, by the way, is part of the Vedic system of knowledge. It's not just a non-Vedic system, it's a part of the Vedic system. We were, the past few days, discussing topics in relation to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was particularly known for being a teacher of grammar, vyakarana. And in order to properly conduct vyakarana, or knowing things through Sanskrit grammar, you have to have logic. Like, how do you put this sound together with that sound to get such and such meaning, and how to make the sounds proper. And logic is necessary in knowledge, in Sanskrit, and even in worldly knowledge. And that worldly knowledge, or Sanskrit knowledge, or Shabda Pramana is the third. So Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman, and Shabda Praman. Three means of knowing. So this is Tattva Sandarbha. Three means of knowing. I mean, it's not only Tattva Sandarbha, but it's Jiva Goswami guiding his audience through what's the best means of knowing anything. If you want to know Krishna, or you want to know anything, you go to Shabda Praman. For example, tomorrow, I have a flight. If I want to find out, is the flight going to leave on time, is it on time or delayed, or what's going on, I don't go ask the gas station attendant. Because he's not the source of Shabda for that question. I go to the airlines and say, is it on time, what's the deal? Sound from some authority is the means of knowing about something. And if you want to know something that's beyond this material creation, you have to go to Aparusheya Shabda Praman. This is Jiva Goswami. Aparusheya is beyond the fallibility of Purusha, or a human. Purusha in this sense being, so beyond the fallibilities of Pratyaksha and Anuman, of a living entity. So not someone that's just a good speculator, and that's the professor from whom you get knowledge. If you want to get proper knowledge about anything, just like this is Srimad Bhagavatam, so his conclusion, Jiva Goswami's conclusion, is Aparusheya Shabda Praman is the best means of knowing anything, what to speak of knowing Krishna. And then amongst the Aparusheya Shabda Pramans, there's divisions and divisions and divisions, and the best amongst all those divisions, in his inimitable way of proving his point, it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. Shabda Praman, Aparusheya Shabda Praman. And that's before. Establish the means of knowing something, so he then launches into the second half of Tattva Sandarbha, and understanding Krishna Tattva through Aparusheya Shabda Praman, through the best of all transcendental sources of knowledge. So now let's go back to the text for this morning. And sound is that which gives an idea of something from a distant place. Before the other senses can grasp that something, there's the sound vibration. And sound, we know, is carried in ether. That the two are intimately connected. And according to Canto 2 Srimad Bhagavatam, sound is the subtle form of ether, or sky, akash. Five gross elements, three subtle elements. Of the subtle elements, sky or akash is the most subtle, and sound is the subtle form of sky or akash. So within everything, the most subtle is the earth. You go in layers out from sky or akash, more gross. So within earth, there's akash. Within water, there's akash. Within fire, there's akash. Sound carries through all those elements because subtle sound is present through akash. The other elements rest in akash. And therefore sound, this is Vedic science, Sankhya philosophy. Sound is within everything, or the capacity to carry sound is within everything, and therefore sound is within everything. And the Vedic process of education is through Vedic sounds. Sounds that come from a Purusheya Shabda. So I want to do a little, for example, something that we don't know about from a distant place is desirelessness. Now there are impersonalists and voidists that have a different idea of what desirelessness is than the Vedic conception of desirelessness. Definition by negation doesn't do it. Desirelessness by negation is become a dead stone. Or we go to Buddhism. What's desirelessness? Void. Nothingness. But there's no such thing. There's a superimposition upon the living entity, of the consciousness of the living entity, and it becomes at least a notional desirelessness. But it's notional only. Take, for example, when the living entity is anesthetized, it's a state of consciousness called susupti. Voidism is like susupti, where consciousness is anesthetized, but there's still consciousness. It's just deep sleep. Consciousness is still there, it's just not manifest. In other words, the state of voidism is not desirelessness, it's just anesthetized consciousness. You with me? I visit China, so I've learned a lot about how people in China think. And Buddhism, it has become, you know, fashionable in America, but it's very traditional in China. And the tradition goes like this. The root cause, it's really simple, 1, 2, 3. The root cause of suffering is desire. To become free from suffering, become free from desire. How do you become free? This is desirelessness. How do you become free from desire? Two things. Live a life of goodness, starting with nonviolence, and engage in meditation. This is also a Jiva Goswami explanation. from the Sundarvas. I learned this from him to help me navigate my way through China and the ideas of Buddhism. The conception in Buddhism of consciousness, you ready? It's jnana. Where's it going? Shanak Jnana Vada. Vada means doctrine. And in their case, in Buddhist's teachings case, jnana in this case means knowledge or consciousness. And consciousness is momentary. Kshana means less than a second. We can read in the Bhagavatam, divisions of time, calculation of time by the atom. And you go through all of that, and the word shanaka is there. It's momentary, like the blink of the eye. How long is that? So however long that is, that's a shanak, less than a second. Shanak vijnana vad. So consciousness, once again, is momentary. All there is the moment. All there is consciousness-wise is the moment. If you're a Buddhist, that's all there is. There isn't past, there isn't future, all there is the moment. So the teaching says, be in the moment. Or our Western way of saying the same thing is mindfulness. This concept of mindfulness is popular. It's derived from Buddhism. Chanak Vijnanavad. So be in the moment, be in the moment, be in the moment. And how do you be in the moment? Do meditation where you're just in the moment. Not in the future, not in the past, just the moment, be in the moment. And when you get really good at it, what's on the other side of the moment? It's enlightenment. What's enlightenment? Nirvana. What's nirvana? Now nirvana, the cessation of existence. Welcome, Prabhus. Nirvana, or voidism, is at least notionally the cessation of existence, where the moment stops. And where are you? Nowhere, in nothingness. Nirvana. That's a dictionary definition of nirvana. I mean, nirvana, you're out of the woods of material existence. Cessation of material existence. Cessation of material existence is what? Nothing. Nothingness. Nirvana. That's the aspiration. Yummy. And it's just negation. The Vedic definition of the root cause of suffering, the root cause of suffering, compliments of Jiva Goswami, the root cause of suffering is not desire, because desire is of the soul. And the soul isn't by nature suffering. The root cause of suffering is ignorance. And ignorance causes ignorant desire, and ignorant desire causes material activity, causes suffering. The root cause of suffering is ignorance. So what's the solution? Knowledge dispels ignorance. Now, let's go back to the verse. What is the root of education or knowledge? Is sound. So what sounds you hear determines whether you're in ignorance or in light. Tamasi ma, jyotir gama, through sound. Supposing you don't have Vedic education, you have some other sound. Because, you know, it's human life, and human life, a characteristic of human life is education. Not only education of children, but education and further education and further education. And the basis of that education is sound. where you learn about an object that's remote. So something you don't know can be known through sound, and then you can start to know that something. But supposing the source of that something, suppose the source of that sound is not apurusheya shabda. Supposing it's purusheya shabda, where someone has acquired knowledge through their senses, pratyaksha, or their logic and reason, or philosophy, and anuman. And there you're going to get your education, where it's ignorance that causes material desire, causes material activity, causes suffering. So train people up in how to suffer, with the intention of training people up to become educated. Just this morning, listening, Prabhupada is so bold. He's in Durban, South Africa. He's meeting with a room full of professors at the local university. And they want to tell him about the university, and Prabhupada cuts them off and says, real education is to teach people who they are. And if the result of your education is people don't know who they are, you're propagating ignorance. And the man, you know, there was one vocal professor saying, well, we separate religion and science. We're not a religion school, we're a science school. And Prabhupada was relentless. It's a science, without going through the whole explanation. To know who you are is a science. It's not a belief, which is a dictionary definition of religion. A belief, a set of beliefs, or faith in something. Transcendental science is sound, where just like this whole section is a description of the universal form. Now, who's seen a universal form? I mean, sometimes Krishna or his expansions reveal universal form. He gives the eyes to see, and some persons have that experience. But it's not seeing, it's sound. We're not seeing, we're hearing. But the source is apurusheya shabda. So we're getting a picture of what's beyond our experience. So now I'm going to go to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 10. You can look it up later if you like. 2, 3, 10. A celebrated verse. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether akama, desire less, sa kama, filled with desire, moksha kama, which is another desire for liberation, kama. Whatever the situation, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Para purusha, the supreme person, is achieved through tivra bhakti. There's a very nice, in the second purport of that, second paragraph of that purport, there's a nice phrase that something that is through sound, that which is beyond our experience, can be known, because that's what sound does. It conveys sound by definition. Third time now. Sound conveys the idea of something in a remote place. We use that principle all the time. For example, cell phones. How does it work? Principle. The idea of something is carried through space. The sound is first in the atmosphere of the earth, but there's a little broadcaster, and it sends a signal to a satellite, and it bounces back, and you can talk to somebody that's remote to you. You can speak to them through sound carried through ether, because beyond the atmosphere of the earth is just ether. and it goes through the atmosphere of the Earth, through ether, hits a satellite, bounces back, somebody's phone rings. You can give the idea of something. Or, you know, like GPS, same thing. It's sound. It can tell you, you know, then a guy or a lady says, you know, turn left. The idea of something unknown can be transmitted through sound, something that's remote. So something that's remote to us experientially is desirelessness, akama. So in Jiva Goswami's commentary on that verse from Kramasandarbha, I'm fascinated with this, so that's how I know about it. I just like spent a lot of time trying to sort it out. Kramasandarbha is the source, and a phrase from Kramasandarbha where Jiva Goswami comments on this verse, giving a definition of desirelessness that's different than the Buddhist idea, is the Vedic idea. And the phrase goes, bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra svasukhatvam. I couldn't find it because it was all one word in the text. But Prabhupada, in the purport, it breaks it up. So there's a little dash between the parts that make it, because the end is tvam. The quality of something-somethingness is tvam. Sva, sukha, tvam. The quality of one's own happiness is bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra. Matra means only. There's only one means to get to desirelessness, and that desirelessness is the desire that parama purusha sukha. And there's a procedure. You may not be perfect at it. You're just doing this activity, bhajan. Bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra svasukhatam. Now, it's very similar. Jiva Goswami's definition is very similar. The Sanskrit is different, but very similar to Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti. Because bhakti says two things, what bhakti isn't and what bhakti is. It's not jnana and karma, that's other desires, anya, abhilash. There's the shunya word, zippo. It's not there. It's not that. If it's not that, what is it? That's the definition of a Buddhist. No jnana, no karma, nothingness. But it doesn't stop there. There's somethingness. There's happiness. And what's that happiness? Parama purusha sukha matra. Where there's the happiness of the personality of Godhead, only, matra. So we don't have, that's something that's beyond our experience, desirelessness. We have the experience of desire, because we're souls, so we have experience of desire. Desirelessness doesn't mean anesthetized desire. When the anesthesia wears off, then what? You become a worldly person again. There's no such place as void. Really? Really, no such place. Prabhupada, there are two things. There's Krishna, and there's Krishna's, and there's no third thing. There's no such thing as void in the creation of God. I'll do it again. There's two things, Krishna and Krishna's. There's no third thing. Everything is either Krishna or Krishna's. There's no such thing as void in the creation of God. So what's voidism? It's an anesthesia. And when anesthesia wears off, desire is still there. It's just anesthetized. Consciousness, this kshanik vijnana, momentary consciousness that becomes really, 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 really super refined to the point where you enter into nirvana, cessation. But there's no such thing of cessation of the soul. You can anesthetize the soul. But when, so, there's consciousness, there's desire. So desirelessness, it's beyond our experience. And sound gives us that idea of a thing that's remote. Now let's go back to Tattva Sandarbha. How do we want to, if Jiva Goswami writes, I want to talk about Krishna, but before I talk about Krishna, what's the means of knowing that's pramana? You can say it's means of knowing, you can say it's evidence, you can say it's proof. It's shabda, aparusheya shabda pramana. That's proof, the means of knowing something. Through shabda, through aparusheya shabda. And by the practice of bhakti, if we're fortunate somehow or other, by the kindness of disciplic succession specifically manifest in the Western world by our founder Acharya, by giving us transcendental sound, starting with ABC, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Loudly, or at least aloud, or audibly, sound, audible. Now there's sound where it's just in the mind, but most effective is sound that's heard audibly. Because sound can exist in the subtlest of elements. Sound is the subtle form of ether. I'm going to read a little section from Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 25. It's similar to this morning's verse, and then I'm going to end, so get ready for an abrupt halt. This is The Cause of All Causes, Chapter 5, verse number 25. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Purport. Just going to read a little bit of the purport. The five elements, namely sky, more subtle, then more gross, air, then more gross, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. Boo, darkness of false ego. Once upon a time, I was at a Rath Yatra in Chicago, and I was introduced to a Chinese lady, because they know I go to China, and she was a very enthusiastic lady, and she said, I just have one question. Why creation? And I said, because we wanted it. She said, come again. Chapter This section of Canto 2 and section of Canto 3 is describing creation. And prior to creation, there's this universal form and there's demigods and enabling living entities to do stuff, like hear sound. And then the medium is sky, but there's sound. Before there's the sky, there's sound. Primordial sound. This means that the false ego is the sum total form of Mahatattva generated from the marginal potency of the Lord, and due to this false ego, of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living entity, this desire that's covered with ignorance, starting with our dear friend, false ego. Very dear. Paragraph down a little bit. It is said that the first tanmatra, which is different than matra, matra, tanmatra, that said the first of the tanmatra sound is created, and then the sky. And in this verse it is confirmed that actually it is so, but sound is the subtle form of the sky, and the distinction is like that between the seer and the seen. The sound, here we go, definition of sound, is the representation of an actual object as the sound produced, speaking of the object, gives an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Then there's material, then there's spiritual, because matter comes from spirit, not the other way around. We've been disconnected from spiritual sound. That's called material existence. And, you know, education is, and that's just, you know, not pointing a finger, and this is what Prabhupada was doing with these university professors. They didn't like it. They felt insulted. You know, this, you're talking, and Prabhupada kept saying, it's not religion, it's science, without going through the whole discussion. Vedic information about creation is certainly part of Vedic information, but to learn about creation, it takes not just modern science of, name the different material sciences. It can tell you something. Obviously it can tell you something, because otherwise how do they build cell phones? Or radios, or, you know, Marconi, and, you know, the whole deal with sound being transmitted through ether. There's some idea, but the background behind that idea is unknown. It's just cause and effect, push and pull, and there's a principle, and you tweak it, and then you make some money. Without any acknowledgement of what's the purpose of that material knowledge of cell phone technology or anything technology, to understand the push and pull principles. That's missing. And how to get it not missing? Shabda Praman. Aparushaya Shabda Man. Shabda Praman. So how to introduce that into the education system or into the world in which we live is Harinam and book distribution, and to help people along, you know, some taking prasadam too. And that's what we do in festivals. And so that's a little explanation of this morning's verse about the creation of the universal form, with the demigods entering into the different features of the universal form. So without the demigods present, they can't function. So they can function. And the demigods are just representatives, as it says two verses earlier. They're part and parcel of the Supreme Lord for a function in the universe. Why universe? Because we want it. Supposing we don't want it. You can't just do a U-turn. Say, I don't want it. Let me become nothing. Sorry, Charlie. You're something. You just have to refine desire through proper sound. Education is needed. Training and education is needed through sound. Through Vedic sound. From the proper source. Now back to this verse in the end. This is the creation of the universal form, with demigods enabling material desires, to have facility to fulfill material desires, and those misdirected desires simply need to be properly directed, cleansed and properly directed through Vedic sound, starting with Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Chito Dharpana Marjanam. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement foundation is propagating this sound. So we're somehow, we just had to be in the right place at the right time and heard transcendental sound, and we said yes instead of no. We keep saying yes. And then assist in propagating that sound in ways that suits your nature. Big festival, Sankirtan festival. Okay, that's this morning's discussion on difficult words from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes.
Very enlightening and satisfying class, thank you. So the question is this, we understand that sound is the most potent means to gain knowledge. We read these books to gain knowledge, so then is reading another form of sound in some way?
Yeah,
it doesn't seem to be going through the ear.
Recorded sound, Prabhupada's answer is yes, it's recorded sound. Bhaktivedanta purports, recorded, transcribed, composed, we heard about the composing facility at the press. Then
the sound put in imprinted form.
You know what Vyas did is the same thing. Sound in a written form.
Adivar Maharaj. Very nice. So in the process of creation, it's stated that the Virat Purusha is manifested. From the Virat Purusha, everything has its connection. All the senses and everything, all the beings and everything. So within these verses, it's speaking about the five senses having their origin from the Virat Purusha. And so Bhagavatam is making the connection without the existence of the Virat Purusha, then nothing can really manifest. You know, so we were trying to understand this aspect of creation. You know, how is everything has a connection to the Virat Purusha. I don't know if you want to.
Well, you're making a comment. And I'm appreciating your comment. That's my response to your comment. Nice comment. Now, behind everything, behind even the Virat Purusha, Virat Rupa, is Parama Purusha. He manifests because we have desire, and facilitating our desire, he's behind it. The universal form, the demigods that make the whole thing go, and the different parts, the senses, and so forth and so on. It's just to facilitate us. Supposing you want to do a U-turn. It's still there. Then we have to have a different consciousness, and using our senses and experiencing the manifestation of the universe. So, that's what we do. How wonderful is the Lord? He's facilitating and empowering living entities to help facilitate our, you know, misdirected desire. He's unkind. He shouldn't do that. Some people say. That was with this discussion with this Chinese lady. If there's suffering, then why creation? Because we don't want the suffering, but there's consequences to misused free will. There's consequences. So it's to teach us, don't misuse your free will. Up front. There's another question. Put your hand up. Yes, put your, he's going to give you the microphone.
It's a very interesting discussion. I appreciate it. I was aware that from Patanjali is that consciousness takes a route, but source of the consciousness is the soul.
Yes.
And then it goes to different level, like, yes, for an example, subtle concept of heart, and then intelligent, then mind. If it is in the mind, we call dream. Or if, when it comes to the senses, okay, physical, right,
yes,
now,
yes,
right here.
Yes.
But when it takes detour, or it comes back, reroute, and to its origin, that's where Bodhisattva, nothing remains, no, nobody knows.
That was his philosophy. The science doesn't change, but, you know, what's the conclusion of that science? That there are different opinions on what the conclusion of science is. I see a hand over there against the wall.
So you talked about the sound in the mind. Is, according to me, I associate this with the Paramatma.
You associate the mind with Paramatma?
No, the sound in the mind.
The sound in the mind.
Mind, for me, is like the Paramatma. Is
why?
That?
Why?
Because when you want to hear the Paramatma.
Hold the microphone a little further away, because it's hard to hear the detail of your speech.
Okay.
My hearing is bad. Be okay. Kind upon senior
want
citizens.
Want me to get closer? Should I get closer?
That's what you, that sounds good. Try it.
All right. So the sound in the mind, is it the Paramatma?
I never heard such a thing before. Why do you conclude like that?
Because when I...
Is there a shastra behind that idea? Or just...
No, it's because when I want to know what to do, whether it's good or bad, I listen to the kind of speaking inside my head.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Supposing you're a thief.
Yeah.
You're not. But supposing you're a thief, and you want to know how to steal. You got an idea within the mind how to steal. The source of that idea is not necessarily truth, but the source of the idea, the source of the idea, because sound is conveying an idea of a thing that's remote. Paramatma is the source that tells the thief, do this, don't do that. But it's not necessarily what you should do. So sound within the mind, in that sense, the source is Paramatma. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. That answer your question?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily what we should do.
Yes. That's the main point. Mental conclusions are not necessarily, you know, what's to be done, what's not to be done. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, you kindly accepted yesterday to sign Chaitanya Charitamrita. If anybody takes today or tomorrow, tomorrow is Ekadashi.
Yeah, tomorrow's Ekadashi.
So just a humble reminder to everybody. We also have two people who would like sponsored CC sets. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class. And this is sound captured in the form of books.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's more of a comment than a question. It's such an amazing, wonderful class. But the verse that kept coming to my mind as you were describing people's attempt at nirvana, nothingness, was that yenye ravindaksha vimuktamani nas. They become liberated in the mind only, but without taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Again, they fall down. Like you said, sorry, Charlie.
When I looked at those verses and saw no purports, I was scratching my head. It took a while to come up with you know, putting this piece together with that piece. But yet it's all based upon sound. I properly understand sound and how to engage ourselves with sound is everything. Srila Prabhupada ki.